I want to do something a little different today. Everybody got your Bible? All right, just hold on to it because we're not going to have a text verse tonight. I'm going to do something different. Matter of fact, I don't know that I've ever done this. Someone said, what's your text verse? I'll just be spiritual, says the whole Bible. I'm going to use a lot of scripture tonight, but what I want to do tonight, and by the help of the Lord, and this has been on my heart for a couple of weeks, is we're now into our new building and our new facilities and remodel facilities, and I think we need to understand that God has given us a clear change in ministry. God has given us a clear change in ministry in the sense that we're in a new building, we've got new opportunities, we've got new things going. For whatever reason God chose, the Lord has allowed Miss Jean to go on to heaven, and now that's a new... And what I'm trying to get you to do is not look at this thing as discouragement, look at it as opportunities and looking for God to do great things in our midst. Now, why God chose to do the way he's done, I have no idea. But you know something I learned, that's this, God did not have to get my permission to do anything. God doesn't need my permission. He can do anything he wants to do. And it takes no faith for me to serve him when I've got all the answers. It takes faith to serve him when you got more questions than you got answers. Now, we may be in that place today, but here's the thing. We got questions, but he is the answer. And so that's what I want you to think about today. And now, over the last, I feel so uncomfortable. I'm, you hear them say, stand and turn in your Bibles, read. You know, I feel very uncomfortable. I don't know. I hope you don't feel as uncomfortable as I do, but it'll all come out in the wash, I'm sure. But over the last several weeks, as we were preparing to enter into our new auditorium, and I've been preaching and trying to get our thinking aimed toward the great responsibilities that are before us. I have spent a great deal of time in thinking and meditating what the Lord would have us to do at this work here at Linwood. I don't believe anything happens in the work of God by accident. I believe everything is an own purpose. I don't believe God ever says, uh-oh. I believe God always says, that's my plan and that's my will, and I want to perform my will in your life. In these weeks, I've become very encouraged. That seems almost strange. When I look at the difficulties and the struggles that we have had over the last few weeks, and there are just too many to name and enumerate, I'm amazed at how encouraged my heart has become. I'm really surprised at how God has worked in my life and showed me things and reminded me that the Lord desires and wants to do a great work here at Linwood Baptist Church. I believe he looks down at our church and desires to do something mighty and something powerful. I want to say this, it will not be easy and it will not be quick. Now, we're living in a day we want instant everything. Amen. I mean, we got microwaves, and they don't cook fast enough for us anymore. Used to be someone would have to cook over the stove for an hour to get something. Now we got about 10 minutes in the microwave, and it's ready, and we're thinking, and we're sitting there patting our foot wishing it'd hurry up. Because we want everything that we want right now. And I said all that to say this, that this work that God is going to perform at Linwood is not going to be an easy work, and it is not going to be a quick work. It will, however, be something that when it's all said and done, people will drive by this place and say, it had to be God. That is my desire. God knows it to be true. I want, when people drive by this place and when God fills the auditorium and we're having to do by facilities or by property or whatever we have to do, I want folks to drive by and say, there's no reason for that to happen except God did it. That is my desire. I long for that. Now, I want you to give you something to think about. It takes a miracle from the Lord to bring a group of people together. The more people that are come together to do a work of God, the greater the miracle. Now, the reason for that is this. It's a miracle because when you have a congregation of people, you have people that have different backgrounds, different temperaments, and certainly different goals and different dreams. Now, when God brings a group of people together, and all of a sudden they're no longer individual pawns, they become a lake for the honor and the glory of God, then and only then can God do what he chooses to do. Now, this is where I kind of want to concentrate our thoughts and attention for tonight. What is our goal and what is our dreams as members of Linwood Baptist Church? If I were to do a survey of this church and I were to ask every one of you and say, would you fill out this survey? Tell me what you would like to see God do at our church. I'm sure that we would overlap in some areas, but there would be very varied responses that we would get. Some would say, well, I'd just like to grow. Others would say, I'd like to see folks saved. And there's nothing wrong with either of these. Some others would say, I'd like to see more young people. Someone else would say, I'd like to see a piano player. Somebody else would say, I'd like to have a better preacher. I wouldn't answer that one. But anyhow, the answers would be varied. And so I don't want your opinion, and I don't really want my opinion tonight on what we would like to see our church do. What I want is God's opinion. I want to know what God wants out of our church. Our ultimate goal as a church is to magnify and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate goal. Above everything, that should be our desire in our heart. If this is our ultimate goal, then we must ask the question, what do we have to do to reach that goal? What do we have to do as Linwood Baptist Church to reach that ultimate goal of glorifying and magnifying Christ? Tonight, I want to give us direction from the Lord on how we can reach that ultimate goal. Now, we do it by understanding our purpose for existence. I mean, why are we here? Think about that a minute. That sounds like such a simple question, and yet it is really profound when you stop and realize why we are here. The thing is, many churches and many people never reach their potential because they don't fully realize why they're here. They cannot accomplish their goals because they don't understand what their goals are. Tonight I want to give you what I believe is the mission statement, biblical mission statement for Linwood Baptist Church. Now our mission statement must be biblical at base, it must be doctrinally sound, and it must be Christ honoring. If we do anything that is not biblically based, that is not doctrinally sound, and is not Christ honoring, then it isn't from God, and God is not pleased that we do that. Now, I'm sure there are people here that are asking, at least in their hearts, why do we need a mission statement? Now, I'm going to answer that tonight. I believe that that is a legitimate question and deserves us to look at it honestly and thoroughly and think about it. Now, if we were to go, let me try to illustrate. If we were to go to Michelin Tire Company and ask them what their mission statement was, why are y'all in the business that you're in? Here's what they would tell us. They would say something like, you know, we exist to make quality tires and to maintain the safety of our customers as well as to make a profit for our stockholders. Now, that would be an honest mission statement. That would be exactly why they are, why they're there. Now, their purpose is not to make cars. That's not Michelin's purpose. Their purpose is not to make refrigerators. It's not to make TVs. But their purpose is to make tires. Now, think about this a minute. To be sure, there is nothing wrong with making cars. But that's not their purpose. There's nothing wrong with making refrigerators. I'm glad someone does. But that's not Michelin Tire's responsibility. There's nothing wrong with making TVs. But that is not Michelin Tire's responsibility. Now, try to use that illustration to try to make you understand that a church must have a mission statement. We cannot do everything. God does not intend us to do everything. God intends us to take care of the spiritual welfare of things, not the carnal welfare as much, but the spiritual. This may not seem too profound to you, but I believe it's a great lesson for us to learn. God has commissioned His church, the Linwood Baptist Church, to learn this simple illustration, and that is that we have a work to do upon the earth. Now, our job is not to build hospitals. That's not Linwood Baptist Church's job. I'm not against building hospitals. As a matter of fact, they're kind of important. We kind of need them, but that's not our job. Our job is not to run for political office. I'm not against folk, Christians running for political office. That's not our job. It's not our job to beautify the community. I'm not against the community being beautified, but that is not our job. Simply put, these things are well and good, and they do not displease the Lord when these things are done. However, it is not the church's job to do them. It is not Linwood Baptist Church job. Simply put, it is not our mission statement. Now, think about this before we get into the mission statement. One more thing I want you to realize is this. Why is it important that a church and a ministry have a mission statement? I thought of three reasons why I believe it's important for us to have a mission statement. First of all, because we need to have to run everything that we do here at the church by our mission statement and see if what we are going to do and what we are doing falls in line with our mission statement. In other words, what we do, if we're planning on a new thing, a new program, a new activity, whatever, what we should do is we should run that by our mission statement. There's four things we'll look at tonight, and we ought to run those this new idea by our mission statement and say, okay, then if this right here fulfills the purpose of our mission statement, then we ought to do it. If it does not fulfill the purpose of our mission statement, then we ought not do it. It's not that it's bad. It's not that it's wrong. What it is it does not help us accomplish our goal for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think the second thing we need to understand why we need a mission statement is this. Because if we don't have a mission statement goal, then we will never know if we ever reach that goal. If we don't have a mark to shoot at, if we don't have a place to reach for, we will never know if we ever reach that place. Then thirdly, I think is very important, and that is this, because without a mission statement, we will be like a ship out on the sea with no rudder and no compass. We will simply be adrift in our church life. We will have absolutely no direction and have no leadership from the Lord. I believe that many churches, and ours is no exception, never accomplish great things for God. It's because they never plan and focus on their mission, and therefore they cannot accomplish great things because they're spreading themselves so thin trying to do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And what we're spending our time doing, we spend all of our time putting out fires instead of focusing on the thing that God has given us to do. Now, I'm not against other things. Don't misunderstand me. I don't think there's anything wrong, as I said a while ago, with beautifying a community, but that's not our job. I don't think there's absolutely nothing wrong with other things that people do, but that is not the church's job. Think about this a moment. The city officials and the county officials will never endeavor to do a work for God. The only people that will ever endeavor to do a work for God is the church. Now, why should we as a church do what the city and county officials are paid to do and sidetrack us from doing what we're supposed to do? It's really crazy. But it is a little tool that Satan has used, and so many churches fall into this, and the reason they do it is because Christians have fallen in it. Now, I said a while ago that our ultimate goal is to magnify and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do we do that? And we must understand and look in the Bible and see how that God expects this to be done. There are four statements that I want to present to you tonight and that give you that are biblically based. These statements consist of what I've chosen to describe is Linwood Baptist Church mission statement. Now, when we get these four statements, and we're going to later on come back and print them up and give each family a copy of these mission statements. Now, and they're going to be suitable for framing. And I trust that you'll take $5 and go down to Walmart and buy you a picture frame, hang it on the wall in your house to be a constant reminder. This is why we exist as a church. This is why we are here. This is why God put us into existence. You see, the sad thing is, if we're not careful, we'll hear this sermon, we'll say amen during the message, but it will not change our thinking. I want God to change our thinking. I want God to help us understand what our purpose is. We will also give a copy of this mission statement to everyone that desires to join our church. I think that's very important. We sit down with them, give it to them, say, look, this is our goals. This is what we plan to do. Now, if you don't want to be a part of this, that's fine. You do what you want to do, but this is what we're going to do. And if you are not in agreement with it, then the best thing you can do is go to another place. Amen? I think that's important. I believe you can resolve yourself or remove yourself from a lot of struggles and problems if folks right off the bat find out where you're going to and what you're planning on doing and what your ministry is. I remember years ago whenever I was pastoring in Florida at Bethel, I used to go out and folks would be visiting our church and they'd come for a while. I'd go in and I'd sit down with them. Here's what I'd say to them. I'd say, all right, I know you've been visiting a while. I know you've probably got some questions you want to ask me about our church. I'd like for you you to know. I want you to know everything about us. And so I let them ask questions. Then I said, okay, now, there's some things I'm going to tell you about our church. Here's what we believe. Here's our position. And I went through it all. I went through our position on the King James Bible. I went through our position on speaking in tongues. I went through our position on dress when you come to church. And I said, look, I'm telling you, whatever you do, that's between you and God. But this is where we stand, and we're not changing. Now, you see, I resolved myself of a lot of problems some folks decided the Lord was leading them elsewhere. Now, God knows I didn't want them to go elsewhere, but I'd rather them go elsewhere than come there and be miserable and cause problems in the fellowship. And so what I'm saying is, when our folks come and they become interested in our ministry, we give them a mission statement, say, this is what we are all about. Now, if you want to be a part of a church that they live every day of their lives to fulfill these four things, then boy, you're welcome to come. But if you don't want to be a part of a church that does these four things, then, you know, maybe the Lord just ain't leading you here after all. Amen. Now, I want to look at four things. You might write them down. I don't think it'll hurt you to write them down. It'll help you remember them, and then we will get them to you at a later date. First of all, Linwood Baptist Church is the first first thought that I want to give you that our mission statement is Linwood Baptist Church is to exalt the Savior. It is our duty to exalt the Savior. That is the first mission statement. Our purpose is to exalt Him. In the book of Psalms, chapter 34 and verse 3, the Bible says this, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Now, the psalmist said, I want us as a group of people, as a congregation, to exalt the Lord's name together. He said in John 12, 32, Jesus said, "And if I be lifted up to the earth, I will draw all men unto me." John 3:30 says, "He must increase, I must decrease." Now, each of these verses remind us of our duty, and that is to exalt and to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This ministry is not about you. This ministry is not about me. This ministry is not about how many folk we have or how few folk we have. This ministry, if we're going to be a biblical ministry and we're going to follow biblical principles, must be a ministry that lives to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and to lift up His name. You're not worthy to be exalted, nor am I, but He is worthy to be exalted. And we should live every day. We should come to church on Sunday morning saying, all right, today we're going to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ought to come back on Sunday night saying, boy, we've come back tonight, Lord, we're here to exalt Your name. We ought to come back on Wednesday night saying, Lord, we are here to exalt Your name. Come back during revival every service saying, Lord, we are here to exalt Your name. That should be our ultimate goal, is to exalt and to magnify and to lift up and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be our goal. You see, we're to exalt Him. First of all, we are to exalt His life. We ought to exalt who He is. He, first of all, was one who had a sinless life. We know that. We've heard it so often, we often don't hear it anymore. But we know that He had a sinless life. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:15 that He was without sin. Again, in Hebrews 9:28, that He was without sin unto salvation. Over and over again, this Bible reminds us that He had a spotless life. Listen, I do not deserve to be exalted because I don't have a spotless life. You don't deserve to be exalted because you don't have a spotless life. There's nobody that will ever walk through the doors of this church that has a spotless life. Therefore, they don't deserve to be exalted. But there is one who every time we meet, He's in the midst. He's worthy to be exalted because He had a spotless, sinless life. We ought to exalt Him. We ought to lift Him up. You're not worthy, nor am I. Now think about this. Jesus had a sinless life, but Jesus also had a structured life. We ought to exalt that. You say, what do you mean by structured? He had a plan for His life, and He fulfilled that plan. You say, what was that plan? Well, we know the plan we find in Isaiah chapter 15, verse 7, where the Bible says that, "For the Lord will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore," He said, "if I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." And what He's saying is, I have a purpose in life. And the Bible said when He came, He set his face toward Calvary as a flint. His life was a structure. He knew why he came. He came to die. He came to pay my sin debt. And we should exalt the fact that Jesus' purpose to come in this sin-cursed world was to die on Calvary so you and I could be saved. We ought to exalt that. Now, Jesus' life had purpose, and that purpose must be exalted. But not only should we exalt his life, but we should also, as Christians, exalt his love. You know, the thing I want you to understand about our Savior, and you know this, but again, I want to remind you that this ought to be a conscious thing in our thinking when we come to church, is that we are to exalt his love. This is who he is and what he has done and what he does. We are to exalt the fact that he declares his love. Over and over again in the Bible, he declared that he loved us. John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jeremiah 31:3, the Bible says, "The Lord appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I love thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." This Bible, every time you open it, declares the fact that God loves us, and we ought to exalt that. There are people in this world that feel that they're loved by no one. Is that not true? There are people in this world that feel that honestly the whole world is against them, and they don't feel any love from their family, they don't feel any love from society, and that's the reason they go out and get in the dregs of sin they get into. And the thing is, they need to understand there is a place in Lafayette, Georgia, if they'll go into it, they will find that they're exalting an individual or a God who loves them. They need to understand that. They need to realize that we are here to exalt the Christ that loves them. We're to exalt his love. We are to exalt the declaration of his love. We are to exalt the demonstration of his love. How did he demonstrate that he loved us? Well, we read a while ago in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The way that God demonstrated his love to us is Calvary. Calvary tells us that he loves us. The Bible said in John 15:13, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man that is life for his friends." The greatest love affair that has ever been written about is the love affair that Jesus had for lost humanity. He loves us. We ought to exalt that. You know, you can never get any more encouraging to your heart than to realize that God loves you, and it demonstrated that on Calvary. Our mission statement is that we are to exalt the Savior. We are to exalt his life. We are to exalt his love. Not only that, we are to exalt him as Lord. We ought to exalt him as Lord. You see, when we exalt his life, that's who he is. When we exalt his love, that is who he is and what he does. But when we exalt him as Lord, that tells us who he is, what he does, and what he's going to do. And we ought to tell a lost and dying world that God has a plan. I know old Al Gore's got everybody in the world scared. Oh, what are we going to do? I mean, all this global warming, good night. I mean, the world's coming to an end. We, over the last 100 years, we've increased 0.7 degree. If that ain't dumb, I don't know what is dumb. And everybody's so worried. They're fretful. What are we going to do? They're fretful. What are we going to do with our environment? Everybody says, oh, the world, it's going to finally fade away and go away. I want to tell you something. We have a God who came and gave his son for us by the name of Jesus, who is Lord of this thing. He's in control, and the world needs to know we exalt him around here. When we come to church, we're going to exalt what he does. We're going to exalt what he has done. And we're going to exalt what he will do. There will come a day that he will sit upon the throne of his father David, and he will rule and reign for 1,000 glorious years. We're to exalt that. Everybody gets worried about our world. And honestly, I am as well. I love America. I love our nation. And I can always rest in this truth, that the Lord has it under control. He has it all under control. So, first of all, we realize that our first mission statement is this. We are to exalt the Savior. Now, secondly, here's our mission statement. We not only are to exalt the Savior, but we are, our mission statement is, to expound the Scripture. Now, the word expound means to explain. It means to lift it up. It means to describe it. It means to go in detail and understand it. And our purpose as a church is to expound the Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Here's what the Bible says. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. God said your purpose is to preach the word. The primary purpose of this church is to exalt the Savior and expound the Scripture, preach the word of God. Now let me give you something to think about. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Let me read you this verse before I do that. The Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, and to us that are saved, it is the power of God. God said the church of the living God is to have a place where they preach the word of God. Now listen to me. If we follow our mission statement, God will bless our work regardless of whether we got a piano player or not. I'm going to give you a little heads up. Did you know that God, there's nowhere in our mission statement that I'm going to talk about where it says our mission statement is to have a good music program. I'm not against it. And what we want to have it only because it falls under the category, this umbrella of these four things. But the primary thing of Linwood Baptist Church is preaching the Word of God. That's our primary thing. We must first of all develop an appetite for the Word of God. There's one thing that I have been encouraged about in the 4 years I've been here. There are people here today that have an appetite for the Bible. There are folks that are not here today because they didn't have an appetite for the Bible. Amen. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm not against having a little banana pudding every once in a while. You can tell by looking at me, I'm not against that. But the truth of the matter is, you can't live off banana pudding. You've got to have some meat in your soul. You've got to have something to sink your teeth in, that when trials come and problems come and difficulties come, here's an amazing thing to me. I'm fixing to just plow a little bit, so just hang loose. It is amazing to me that you can have a singing and folks will flock there by the hundreds and the thousands, but you can have a preaching service and folks very rarely will come. Why is that? Because there is not an appetite for the Word of God. There is an appetite for the, for the emotional side, but not an appetite for the spiritual side. Now, we need an appetite. Many churches have developed appetites for singings. They develop appetites for suppers. They develop an appetite for social gatherings. But what I want our church to be, and what God wants our church to be, is a church that has an appetite for the Word of God. Everything we do is ought to be centered around the Bible. The Bible said in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. If someone should ask you or me what we do for the young people, we should say honestly, we preach the Word of God to them. You say, well, you don't get them to come that way. I'm so sick of this mentality. You can draw more flies with vinegar, with honey than you can with vinegar. There's two problems with that statement. Number one is we're not trying to draw flies. And number two, it's not my job to do the drawing, it's his. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not against the things, but that is not the primary purpose of the church. And what is happening in the majority of churches is the activities have taken over the preaching of the Word of God, and they preach when they've got time, if there is time, and they'll give a little sermonette to Christianettes that smoke cigarettes dressed like majorettes, and that's all they get out of that thing. I'm here to tell you, that's not the Word of God. I don't know where that come from, way back a long time ago. I don't know how it popped into my brain. I might have to use that again sometime. If someone should ask what we do for singles in our church, we ought to say we preach to them. Someone says, what do you do for young couples in your church? We ought to say we preach to them. Well, what do you do for your music program and the musicians in your church? We preach to them. Because that is our mission statement, to expound the Scripture. Is that what your Bible says? If we don't do that, we're not fulfilling the purpose for why God put us here. Think about this. Our church will be a place where when we come, we will be disappointed if preaching is not done. Amen? Ought to be a kind of place. That ought to be a kind of place that when we show up, if the preacher just kind of hits it a lick and a promise and he doesn't do much preaching, just kind of says, I'm just going to give you a little talk tonight. We ought to go home disappointed that we didn't get meat from the Word of God. I'm not as concerned about how loud a preacher preaches. I'm not as concerned about how high he jumps. I'm not as concerned about how many pews he can walk on as I am if he gets in the Word of God and gives me truth from the Scripture. That's what I'm concerned about. We must develop an appetite for the Word of God. I've got to confess, physically, my appetite is not generally for things that are the best for me. If you ever find me having an appetite for broccoli, you mark her down, I'm in heaven. And that's what God's serving. If you ever hear that I got an appetite for, I know it's terrible, but green beans, it was God who put it there, it wasn't me. Now, if you say, what do you have an appetite for? I'd say, well, you know, I kind of like Lay's plant chips. Amen. Well, I do. And I'll tell you what, my appetite for the things of the world and the things, the physical thing, may not be what it ought to be, but boy, I want my appetite for the spiritual things to be what it ought to be. I want to be hungry for the things of God. So we must develop an appetite for the Word of God. Secondly, and this is very important, after we develop an appetite for the Word of God, if we're going to expound the Scripture, we need to develop an acceptance of the Word of God. Now, what we need to understand is if we have an appetite for the Bible, we need to accept the Word of God as it is. The Bible said in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. And what is sad to my heart is that I go in places and I preach to people, and it has been at times past, even from this pulpit, where people just do not accept the Bible. You tell them what the Bible says, but Brother Eddie, I mean, you don't understand. Well, I don't understand if we disobey the Bible. Do you want me to understand you disobeying the Bible? Do you want me to understand me disobeying the Bible? I can just see me looking at you and say, well, you know, Jill, she didn't feel so hot today, and so I thought I'd just stay home with her. Well, what would I be doing in accepting the Bible in that phrase? The Bible says that I'm not to forsake the assembling myself together. I'll tell you what, it is a sad day when Christians are so lazy they can't get to Sunday school and Sunday morning church, but they can be on time every day to work. I tell you what your problem is. You don't have an appetite for the Word of God. That's your problem. You see, the fact is, we need to learn to have an appetite and accept what God says. Our motto in this church, as far as when it comes to expounding the Scripture, should be this: God said it, that settles it. It does not. Years ago, our favorite statement was, God said it, and I believe it, that settles it. Hey, God said it, and that settles it, whether you believe it or not. And if God said it, that settles it. If God said it's wrong, then if I'm doing it, I'm wrong. Amen. God said it's right, and if I don't do it, then I am wrong. I ought to do what's right. That's what we need. We need an acceptance of the Word of God. But here's the third thing, and I think this is probably the most needful for Linwood Baptist Church. I think for the most part, we do have an appetite for the Bible. I think for the most part, we do have an acceptance of the Bible. We accept the truth and say, you know what, I might not be doing it, but it's true. That is true. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing right, but that's the Bible's right. Here's the third thing, and this is what we need to really concentrate on. We need to develop not only an appetite for the Bible, an acceptance of the Word of God, but the ability to apply the Word of God. Here's what I've seen in Christendom, and this is what I'm seeing among the Baptist churches that I'm privileged to preach in. We have developed people that have an intellectual understanding of Scripture, but don't apply it to their everyday living. In other words, if you were to ask them, what do you believe about the Bible, they could tell you, but they don't read the Bible. What do you believe about going to church, they could tell you, but they don't faithful to church. What do you believe about the way you ought to behave in this situation? They could tell you, but they don't behave in that situation the way they should. It's because we're not applying the Scripture. Here's what I long to do. I long to be a preacher that preaches to you the Word of God, and you hear the Word of God, and that Word, it translates into your life, not just in theological truth, but an application saying, you know what? I need to line up to that truth. That's what God desires. Let me show you something. It does you and I very little good to know the doctrine of the Scripture if those same doctrines are not controlling the way we live. If we have a rebellious heart, let me show you something. I read this morning from the book of Isaiah. And I didn't develop it because of time this morning, but it talked about how the children of Israel were going down to Egypt for counsel. And that verse said they rebel and go down to Egypt for counsel. You know what? If we're going to apply the word of God, what we ought to do is stop and say, Lord, am I a rebel at heart? God, am I rebellious? Anybody that has worldliness evident in their life is a rebel. And they ought to ask themselves that. If I have a rebellious heart, I must allow God to change my heart. If I have an unforgiving spirit, if I am going to have one that applies the scripture, I must allow the Lord to deal with that unforgiving spirit. If I have a gossiping tongue, then I must allow the Lord to stop my gossiping tongue. If I have a lustful heart, I must allow the word of God to show me that and apply it to my heart and allow God to change my lustful heart. That's what we're talking about, applying the scripture. Our mission statement is this: we are to exalt the Savior, but we're also to expound the scripture. We are here to talk about what God says is right and to talk about what God said is wrong, and we're to apply those things in our everyday living. So we're to exalt the Savior, we're to expound the scripture. Our third mission statement is this: we are to not only exalt the Savior and expound the scripture, we are to exhort the saint. The purpose of Linwood Baptist Church is to encourage our brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's why we're here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Here's what the Bible said: preach the word, be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke. Notice this next word: exhort with all long suffering. Titus 2. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Titus chapter 2. There's some things I want you to see in this chapter. It talks about exhorting. We have the idea that when we go to church that we're going there to be exhorted. What we need to stop and understand is we're not just going to be exhorted. We go to exhort. We go to encourage. We go to lift up one another. Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Here's what Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, said to Titus. He said, speak thou the things that become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becoming wholeness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teaching the good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Notice verse 6. Young men likewise exhort to be sober minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Verse 9, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well, in all things not answering again, not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn, that they that adorn the doctrine of God of our Savior in all things, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men. Verse 12, teaching us now in ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and godly and soberly and righteous and godly in this present world. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purifying himself a peculiar people. There's a good work. Notice verse 15. These things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. In these 15 verses, three times we are encouraged to exhort. Our church ought to be a place to exhort the saints. Now, I'd like to come down there, but they got my cordless mic turned off and I can't do it. So that's not off. Okay, that's good. Here's the thing I want you to understand. Nobody can help you unless you want help. If you want to come to church and be a sourpuss, you will leave church being a sourpuss. Amen. If you come and say, I don't want nothing, you're not going to get anything. I have given up trying to help folk who don't want my help. All it does is raise my stress level so high I can't hardly stand it. Whenever I try to help somebody, I don't want my help. I wind up beating my head against the wall, and all I do is get a dented wall and a bloody head. You can't help somebody that don't want help. I've given up on it. You say, well, you shouldn't give up. You cannot make somebody want something they do not want. Only God can do that, and last time I looked, I wasn't him. I can't do it. I'll help anybody that wants help. I'll help anybody that wants encouragement. But I cannot encourage you if you want to be in the mully grubs. If you want to have the pooch lip, you're going to have the pooch lip. And I can't help you. But if you want encouragement, I'll guarantee you, if you want encouragement, you can come to church and get encouragement. That is our mission statement, to exhort the children of God, the saint of God. Hebrews 3:13 said this, but exhort one another daily. While it's called today, listen, if you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. God said we're to exhort, encourage one another often, daily, he said. I am amazed. Is it not kind of ironic that the people who always run around wanting to be encouraged never do anything to encourage others? Is that not ironic? You say, well, everybody's having a hard time. Yes, and the folk that you want to encourage you is having a hard time too. Amen. Everybody is having a hard time. That's life. I'm amazed at how little we encourage one another. You know what? And I'm as guilty of some of this as some of you are, but when's the last time you called somebody and said, you know what, I didn't want anything. I just wanted to call and let you know I've been praying for you and I love you and I'm holding you up before the Lord in prayer. I tell you what, you might be amazed at what that would do for that individual. But no, we're sitting around waiting for somebody to do it to us instead of us doing it to others. If I read the Bible right, the Bible said, what a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hebrews 10:25, for not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. I'll tell you what, it's going to be a sad day in eternity when people stand before God by missing church. I am sick to my stomach at Christians who say they love God but can't never find their way to the house of God maybe one day a week. Maybe. That makes God want to throw up. We talked about last Wednesday night. Is that not what it said? You can't tell me somebody that's hot and on fire for God is only going to come to church once a week or once a month. You say, well, I'm not that bad. No, you're lukewarm. And God said that makes him sick to his stomach. That's what God said. Word exhort. The word exhort means to encourage. It means to lift up. It means to commend. It is my job as a pastor to exhort you. So, yep, that's your job. You ought to be encouraging us. You seem like you're always hitting us right between the eyes. I'm encouraging her to do what the Bible says. Amen. Well, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you did some encouraging? I think that's a legitimate question. I think that's one deserves answering. So our mission statement is to exalt the Savior. We've looked at that verse in the Bible where it said, let us exalt his name together. It is to expound the scripture where he said, preach the word. It is to exhort the saint where he said, exhorting one another. And here's a fourth, and the last statement of our mission statement. We are to evangelize the sinner. The purpose of Linwood Baptist Church is to exalt the Savior, expound the scripture, exhort the saint, and evangelize the sinner. That's our purpose. Now, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. What he's saying is, go preach, tell them about Christ, get them saved, then baptize them, because if they don't believe, they'll be damned and die and go to hell. That's what he said. It's our job. Matthew 28:19 said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even in the world. Amen. Here we find our mission, our statement, our mission statement involves evangelizing the sinner. He said, go tell them and win them and then disciple them. That's what he said that we're to do. We're to evangelize the sinner. We are, first of all, we understand from these verses that we are to reach people that are across the seas. I appreciate our mission giving at our church, the heart for missions. I can't tell you how in these last 4 years of difficulty and uncertainty and struggles in my own life and in the lives of many of our people, the one thing that has been a constant reminder that God has been pleased is this thing of missions. It has been a blessing to my heart. Whenever I've been, and I'll be honest with you, whenever it's been difficult because I just didn't feel like I could apply myself like I needed to, and I'm be honest with you tonight, and what I'm going to say, I hope you don't take and run with it, but I've asked God to let me resign, and I'll tell you why. It wasn't because I didn't want to be here. It's because I just didn't feel like I could do everything that needed to be done. I felt like I was limited, and I was struggling in my own heart of doing what all I knew that needed to be done. And the one thing that God kept bringing me back to, but look, you're not doing all you ought to do and all that you can do and all that you will do, but look what is being accomplished in your missions giving. And that was encouragement to my heart, and I appreciate that. But here's the thing, we're to reach people across the seas, but all that, that's foreign missions. Whenever you give your mission offering every Sunday, you ought to realize I'm fulfilling our mission statement. We're trying to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. We put that money, and we do without things that we would like. Maybe we do without going out to eat this week, or we do without maybe some other nicety or luxury that we would enjoy because we took the money that we could have spent on that, and we put it in our mission giving. You know what we're doing? We're saying we're fulfilling the mission statement of Linwood Baptist Church is that we're evangelizing the sinner. Now, folks, listen to me. Sinners being saved is far more important than you getting a six-pack of Pepsis. You say, well, I'm glad you didn't talk about Coca-Colas. Well, let's use the Yankee term. It's more important than a 12-pack of pop. Amen. That's the Yankee term. But here's the thing. When we give, we're fulfilling the great command and the mission statement of this church. We're to reach people across the seas. We're also to reach people that are across the state. You know, this is home missions. Their mission works. I got a letter this week. By the way, Brother John, we need to change Brother Dale Russell's mailing address. So remind me to tell you that whenever I'm not preaching, okay? Oh, that's bad. He won't remember it and I won't either. Candy, remind us, okay? But here's what I want you to understand. We support Brother Dale Russell. He's out in Wyoming. Got a little old church there in Gillette, Wyoming. Telling folks about Christ. Seeing a few folks saved along the way. Started another church in, I can't think of the name of the town, but it's another town outside of Gillette. We support people across the states. I mean, they're in our own country. We ought to be thankful. That is our job. That's our mission. But not only should we be evangelizing the sinner across the seas and across the state, we ought to be evangelizing the sinners that are just across the street. Yeah. You know what I'm convinced that the average Baptist church does that is very evangelistic in their missions is this, that we somehow use that to salve our conscience. Well, you know, we're giving the mission so somebody can go tell them. You know what God wants? God wants somebody to tell them what we are. Folks will never be saved if we don't tell them. That's our mission statement. Our purpose for existence is to evangelize the sinner. Now, let's think back through them just a minute and we'll be done. Our purpose is to exalt the Savior. Everything that we do, we ought to run it by. Does this exalt the Savior? Does this expound the Scripture? Does this exhort the saint? Does this evangelize the sinner? Now, there are times that what we will do will fulfill all four of those things. But there's times that we'll do things that will fulfill only maybe one or two of those things. And we don't have to say, oh, we got to do all four of them. What we got to say is we sure we're doing one of the four things. For instance, we got a couples banquet. How does that fall in? Why should we have that? Well, I think let's ask this question, okay? Number one, does it exalt the Savior? If we're doing it correctly, it is. Number two, does it expound the scripture? Brother Wayne Better came in here with the Bible. Number three, does it exhort the saint? Well, I hope, that's my whole desire, is to see couples leave that place more in love with the Lord and each other than they were when they got there. Does it evangelize a sinner? If sinners come, we'd like to use it for that. But that's not the primary purpose of it. Our Fantastic Friday. Why do we do that? Well, let's go down the list. Does it exalt the Savior? It better. Does it expound the Scripture? You better not be reading out of the Reader's Digest over there. Does it exhort the saint? Well, if we got young people that are saved in those meetings, surely it encourages them to know they can serve God and still have a good time. Does it evangelize the sinner? That's our purpose, trying to get lost young people there to give them the gospel that Jesus saves. Think about other things that we may accomplish. All right, let's come back to the remodeling of this auditorium. Let's ask ourselves the four questions. Number one, did it exalt the Savior? I believe it did. I believe God looks down and is very pleased with what he sees here. I'm teasing, but I think when God looked down before and saw it, he thought, oh, Lord. Oh, what a mess. He looked down and he looked above that vestibule up there and he saw a bunch of wires that just come together and had tape all around them and it was up like this. And God said, if I don't watch over that, the building's going to burn down. It was a mess. God looked down, he saw folks sitting on both sides of the church this way. It was true. 4.5 inches from that wall to the center down. So you know what we've done? It's what we preached about last Sunday night. We give God our best. It's what we've done. So we run it by our mission statement. Did it exalt the Savior? I think so. Did it expound the Scripture? It is now. I mean, what am I doing in here? Thirdly, did it exhort the saint? You know what? It's been a blessing to my heart. And I say this to you, commending you for this. Did you know I've not heard one gripe? That was a blessing. You say, we just didn't say it to your face. Thank you. Amen. You know what happened is that, and I think, and this was a blessing to my heart, is as we were going through this, I saw the finished product. I just had that ability to see what it was going to be when it got done. You had to trust me because you didn't see it. I didn't even tell you what color it's going to be, so you couldn't see it. And so what I'm saying is we did this, and you know what? When we walk in and we look, we left here a couple Wednesday nights ago, and right before they put the carpet down, no, maybe they'd already started putting the carpet down. I got Jill in the car, and me and Mitchell, and we started out on Wednesday night, and we didn't have the blinds up. Lights were on in here. And here's the thing that blessed me. I looked in the windows as I was driving off, and folks just inside the church just looking around. That blessed my heart. Let me tell you why. Because you were encouraged by what you were seeing. It fit our mission statement. Did it? All right, first of all, exalted the Savior. We now are expounding the Scripture. We are exhorting the saint. Fourthly, we did it this morning. We'll do it quite regularly. We will do our best to evangelize the sinner. That's what we're here for. Now, here's what point I'm trying to drive home. We now need to understand that we can no longer build a work for God by just accident. It's an on purpose. It takes planning, it takes preparation, it takes work. Having said that, we're going to have choir practice for a few minutes after service. Amen. I meant to tell you that a while ago and forgot. But what I'm saying is, it won't happen by accident. It's going to happen by an on purpose. And if we will always realize that our purpose for existence as Linwood Baptist Church is to exalt the Savior, expound the Scripture, exhort the saint, and evangelize a sinner, you know what will happen? We will see God do great things in our church. We will see God do great things. Now listen to me, and I'm finished. As we now embark upon a journey that we've never past. I may preach next Sunday night. I've been giving it, kicking around. Where Joshua said to the children of Israel, said, we've never passed this way before. We've never been where we're going. We've never been down the road we're traveling right now. Things have changed. And I don't want you to misunderstand me. It grieved my heart that the Lord chose to take Miss Jean home. That grieved my soul. But God chose to do that. That's God's business. Now, I can do one of two things. I can sit here and scratch my head and get mad at God. Or I can say, okay, Lord, you've got a plan. Now, whatever that plan is, I want to embrace it. I don't want to go with it. You see, this is what our church needs, is direction. Direction. I think one of the things that is so important about preaching series as I'm doing now as we go through the Bible is it gives direction. It gives us direction. Whenever Miss Questenberry, when she was here, she said, preacher, and I'm not saying this to pat me on the back because God knows I don't deserve any recognition. I just know what God has done in my life. She said, preacher, she said, I am amazed at how the Lord speaks to my heart and the depth that you bring. Thing, when I preached on that about the high priest last week. And I told her, I said, you know what? It hasn't always been that way in my preaching, in my ministry. When I first went to Bethel, I would just carry a scattergun. I'd just go in and I'd just ride back and preach and I'd just blow down everybody. But you know what? As God began to work in my heart and begin to structure my thinking and my thoughts, and begin to narrow me down so each sermon has a particular path that I travel. Do you know what that did? It grew me in the Lord and it grew our church in the Lord. That's what we're doing here. We're narrowing it down. Each service has a particular path that we travel. We're learning some things about God. Now we need to travel together on down that path. And whenever I get up and I preach on something that doesn't affect you quite as much as does somebody else, you just say, well, I'll be back next service. Because I'm sure it'll get me next time. However, knowing my preaching, most of the time it affects most of us. What is our purpose? Why are we here? We are here to exalt the Savior, expound the Scripture, exhort the saint, evangelize the sinner. And if we do those four things, we will fulfill the ultimate purpose of glorifying and magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Let's bow our heads. Father, I feel tonight has been such an important night in the ministry of Linwood Baptist Church. God, I have for the first time in my entire ministry, not just here but anywhere I've ever been, I have for the first time felt a leadership in developing a mission statement for our church. And Lord, I believe the purpose is very clear, is that you want me to run everything that we do by that mission statement. And Lord, if what we're going to do does not fulfill at least one of the criteria of that mission statement, or if they conflict with other criteria of the mission statement, then God, we should not do it. Help us, Lord, to see that. God, I hope tonight you've encouraged the saints here at the Church of God. Lord, I hope that you've encouraged each one of our hearts. And Lord, put a drive in our heart to fulfill this mission statement. As we extend the invitation, I pray you'd do something in each one of our lives. God, help us to listen and respond to your Holy Spirit. In your name we ask.